Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
So, where were we?
I think I was about to start being shredded, but let's not worry too much about that. Especially
too late to do a workout now.
Mm. Yeah, especially considering somebody who is not a million miles from here would not let me wear my full battle armour.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't. I'm just saying that I think you would have more difficulty in fighting from 20 metres down in the swamp than
gravity is a harsh mistress.
I put on my battle armour, it sank into the swamp. I put on my other battle armour, it fell over, caught fire, then sank into the swamp.
But my third battle armour
balanced on top of the other two, which were already clogging most of the swamp.
I still remember doing the Babylon 5 version of that.
Mm.
So we built the space station and it blew up.
But the third one would be the fifth one, wouldn't it?
The fourth one didn't blow up. It wobbled back and forth in time, then it blew up. Spoilers, by the way.
I'm not going to watch it now.
That was one of my favourite spoilers when the series was first being broadcast, after that episode, which involved Peril Universe shenanigans. So somebody just casually posted, "Did anyone catch Ivanova's dying words?"
There were some really good ones, because, of course, the Americans, there was one of the series, I want to say it was series 4, where we got it before they did. And the Americans, of course, were completely and utterly, "Oh yeah, we post it," you know, and they were there afterwards going, "Please don't give us spoilers, please, please, please."
Yeah.
Like all the spoilers that you didn't give us.
Anyway, you were in the swamp.
Yes.
Very much so, yeah.
As you say, the swamp.
The swamp.
So, I believe in fact you were being attacked.
We are being attacked. Indeed.
I should probably get some different dyes.
And then,
some extras.
And that is what the illustration is for.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a sword in my hand.
Not reassuring.
I mean, on the plus side, it's got no eyes.
And it's really not not at all clear where the barbs on the tongue go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we're lucky, the barbs on the tongue will get stuck on the teeth and it will choke.
Well, yeah. In fact, there's a good chance it would.
I just feel that evolution might have taken care of that already.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
In any case, you were being leapt on and Dr. Radish has, of course, displayed the good sense for which he has been trained and will not be participating in this combat.
Mm-hmm. We've taught him something.
Yeah, he's good probably job, disappeared from view, but he'll pop up later with a hollow bit of bamboo in his mouth, soaking wet, gets it over.
Either that or he's climbed a tree and now he's halfway down a snake, but, you know.
I was thinking, he's going to be being eaten by something else while we're not looking.
Mm-hmm. But in any case, they're going to attack you, and... Well, let's see.
I think
what we get.
I'm the one at the front at the moment, sir.
Mm-hmm. And, well, one of them's going to hit you. What is your armour?
I don't know, then. So if I'm not wearing my Gadarion...
Are you in the trial and rider pressure suit?
I am presumably in the trial and rider pressure suit.
Which I believe is 7.
7?
It is indeed, yes.
Okay, so that comes out of that. And, okay,
is that
so
what we're all wearing?
Yes.
That or the multi-environment are both 7, so... Right.
Like yeah, the multi-environment clothing isn't quite as sealed, and I think the rider would be the standard thing for going to a planet on in. Uh-huh. In any case, the way it tries to attack you is by shooting out its tongue at you at great speed.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry, it'll stay attached. And, however, it bounces off your armour. Leaves a bit of a scrape, but...
Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay, and Felix... One of them manages to hit you, and you can have 3 points of damage.
Ouch!
That's quite a big attack.
So I think it always comes up endurance first.
Yeah, where's Felix? There you go, there's Felix.
And Mason, you are going to be comprehensively missed by both of them.
Excellent. That should give me time to draw a gun, at least.
Poof. Okay, I'm down to 8 endurance.
Some people dream of 8 endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not far above it.
Mostly Radish, but...
It's one of my 2 above-average stats. Yeah. My other stats
good choice.
Are terrible.
Very good choice.
The 5s do not inspire confidence.
So, it's over to you guys. And somewhere I've got the list of who does stuff in what order, but I'm pretty sure it's Jethro.
It seems like Jethro would go first here.
Yeah, so I've got a sword in my hand, or a machete, but I'm assuming that we can use the stats for a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Close
enough.
So I'm going to try...
Or a parang as a fallback, you know.
Oh, indeed. In fact, isn't it that weird thing now where you are legally allowed to have a parang, but you're not allowed actually technically to have a machete?
Not that I'm aware of. I think they're both fixed blades over 3 inches long. So.
No. You're allowed to have them. You're just not allowed to carry them around on the street or whatever. But you're allowed to have. I mean, I've got plenty of fixed blades longer than that. But you don't. You have to have a reason.
Starting
for
at the kitchen, yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Well,
no, I didn't know that.
So 13.
Yep, well, that will hit, and there isn't really a defensive tray in this, so basically if you get the 8+, you hit. Go ahead and do the damage.
13 points of damage.
Okay, is it armour piercing at all?
No, I don't think so.
That's fair enough. Okay, that's definitely hurt it, but it's going to keep going. Felix.
Is this a pull out the Straka situation, or is this a ceramic knife situation?
This is pull out the Straka, boy.
If I can get a bead on the Straka, I will do so.
Yeah, remember we have major action, minor action in this, so you can ready weapon with a minor action and shoot it with a major.
Yep.
And once you have it readied, you can aim with the minor and shoot with the major.
Yep. I will ready my Straka and take a shot at the one that's trying to chew my leg off.
Okay, I think you're plus 2 point blank, or might be plus 1. I will just... No, it's plus 1.
That's a 12.
That will be plenty. Go ahead and do some damage.
Okay, so that's 3D, 4D.
No, it's 3D for the... Struck a 6,
it should be on the sheets I've sent you.
Yeah,
that's the same one I've got, and it's a 3D AP4.
Okay, fair enough. I've
just rolled an 8, but it is AP4.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that will again, that will definitely hurt it, but not finish it off.
Curses.
How have I been left with two of these buggers, and you two have got one each?
You've all got two of them. Well, you each got two of them.
Oh, have we?
Oh, right, well.
Hmm. But what are you going to do about either of them?
Well, personally, I'm going to draw my pistol and shoot it, since that seems to be what everybody else is doing. So that's... So I got my dexterity bonus, do I?
Yes. Do you have the sheet that I produced? Because that does all this calculation for you. That is why I did it.
Hang on. It does calculations, does it?
Yep. Or the thing that produces it at this end does calculations and gives them to you as a flat PDF that will look on anything.
Okay, that does look like a flat PDF. Okay, well, for now. So it's gun combat 2, and that will be a 4. So in fact, I've managed a 7.
Okay, that is, alas, not quite enough.
No.
Let me just have a look. Yeah, so I've got the sheet here. You have a total of plus 4. Plus 1 more for the point blank.
Oh, in that case, that's 8.
Right. Couldn't hit an elephant at this list. Go ahead and roll damage.
Spectacular 5.
Okay, and that is AP4.
AP4.
Yep. So that will take care of its armour, which is good from your point of view. It's scratched. It's bleeding. That's probably blood. I hope it's blood. But it's definitely still active. So they all are. Let's see what they can manage with their massive attack of plus 1. Plus 2. Plus 2. That's not enough, and nor is that. They have apparently inherited your dice, John. You can have some damage.
Fabulous.
Can I?
No, Sis John, I'm quite relaxed.
it bashes at your armour with its tongue and does not manage to get through.
Excellent.
But presumably that's why the bulge point that way, so it can retract it again afterwards.
It's like a slightly over-enthusiastic puppy attacking us at the moment. It's just...
So, back to Jethro.
Okay. Well, how badly injured does the one that I'm fighting... the one that I've stabbed before look?
It's definitely bleeding.
Would it be better for me to pull out my close assault rifle?
That's not a decision I can make.
I mean, it is designed for shooting at this sort of, you know. It's not quite a combat shotgun, but
it certainly sounds up to the task. So,
I mean, it will probably do more damage than the sword.
It will indeed, and I'm better with it.
I don't want to reduce everything to let's shoot it, but you know.
Then you can spray a burst across all the others, and everybody else has got armour, so they'll be fine.
Well,
yeah.
I think I'm not going to go into auto, not without actually the aim bonus as well. I am going to use my minor to drop my sword and whip out my and basically. Move it round on the sling, so that it's actually in my hands.
Sure.
And then I am going to shoot. That's all right. 12.
Yeah, that'll be plenty.
Sword again.
Go ahead and do damage. This is the damage one already. Yes.
This is the damage one already.
Yep.
Yes. So this is a massive 10 points of damage.
Do you have any AP on that?
No, there's no AP. I'm afraid.
Okay. So that brings it down to that, which is still quite enough to finish it off.
Isn't quite.
Is quite.
Oh, just.
Snake bits everywhere. Felix.
Cool.
next round.
Next. Take another shot. Let's aim and take another shot.
Okay, so you get a further plus one to hit.
So that is lots. 12 again.
Mm-hmm. That's plenty.
And that's 8 damage, AP 4.
Okay, that will take that one down. It's hanging on by its last fang. Not to you, unfortunately. Mason.
Well, same again. Let's, now I can aim this time. Is that a plus one? Or
that's a plus, further plus one, yep. So you've got plus one for aim, plus one for point blank, dex mod, and gun skill.
So that's a 13 in that case.
That will be plenty. So that's some damage.
10.
And that's... Yep. AP4?
AP4.
Okay. Again, so, yeah, much like the one Phoenix has got, it's in pretty bad nick.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't bring an elephant gun. This is not really designed for shooting huge snakes.
True. True.
I was thinking more of a person-to-person weapon, really.
So, we're back to... Let me just find the relevant bits. Yeah. So you've got, at this point, two dead snakes and four live ones. Uh-huh. And the four live ones are turning on the two dead ones and attacking them.
Oh. Okay, so they're more interested in eating them.
Which might give you a chance to get away if you want to, or you could shoot them in the back.
I think we should keep going until they're dead, really, don't you?
Well, yeah. if they're going to do that, I will aim. Now, interesting question, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a heads-up display. Does that improve my aim more than plus one? Or is it...
I have no idea. Let me find out.
I think it gives me an extra plus one, but I might be wrong.
You can tell how much I do combat in this.
Well,
you don't need to do lots of combat, do you? It's not really a system that cries out for combat.
That's the whole point. In any story, you kind of want something where there is a chance of jeopardy and stuff, so you do want combat, but you don't want it to be combat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Says the soldier.
Your job is to make sure we don't have combat all the time.
Well,
I would have replied to Bear Mark, but I was too busy biting my lip.
It's probably not that. Let's have a look in. Naturally, of course, there isn't just the word head-up display in the rules, because that would be too easy.
No, don't be daft.
Where have you got that from?
It's the equipment.
Was it an add-on or did it come with the gun?
Aha! HUD system is page 86 in the equipment.
It comes with the gun.
Puts data and images on a reticule.
Oh, helmet add-on.
Can be coupled to electronic sights. Giving
okay, so yeah, plus one to attack rolls.
Yeah.
Short version.
Yeah. So it gives an extra plus one over and above the aim. Yeah, cool. That's fine.
I mean, honestly, the range and windage information is not that useful here because the range is about 3 inches, but hey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 10 centimetres.
So I would like to open up on the three of them, or the four that are left, rather. We've got auto three.
Yep, they have stopped attacking you guys, so... That's an entirely viable thing to do.
Okay, so I've got a plus five on the roll, but I'm guessing that the auto 3 is going to drop it back down again.
Yeah, let me just have a look at the... Again.
Yeah, that's welcome to my life, because I can't remember what automatic fire does.
Yeah, I've written extensively on the GURPS automatic fire system, which people had a lot of trouble understanding, and I ended up writing a lot of here is how to make sense of it.
Mm.
But I have not done it for this. Right, you can... right, to attack multiple targets, you make a number of attacks equal to the auto score.
Okay, so I've got auto 3.
Can be made against separate targets as long as they're within 6 metres of each other, which they absolutely are.
Okay.
Uses a number of rounds equal to 3 times the auto score.
Okay, so that's fine. I've got 20 in the...
You do not get to use the aim bonus with this.
Okay, so I don't get aim, but I get the heads-up display.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's plus 4 rather than plus 3, which is fine. So first one, I roll 9, so that's 13. I should have said. I'm targeting first shot against... Which is the injured one that's left?
You can get the two injured ones out of the four remaining in your three targets.
Okay, so let's do that, and then I'll also go for the other one of mine.
You may not have a choice about that, yeah. But it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So basically, I'll get the two injured ones, and then on the other. So one's hit on the injured one. I've rolled 8 on that one, so that's 12, and then 5 on that one, but that's still 9.
Yeah, so that hits on all of them. Let's have damage.
Okay, so first one is 8, and then, hang on, sorry, there's more. 10, 16 on that one.
Okay. That one's had it.
Okay, next one is 8. 14 on the next one.
That one's also had it.
And then the uninjured one, I'm going to roll abysmally, no doubt. Yes, because I've actually rolled 8 on that one, rather than 8, which is what I rolled for the first two dice.
Okay, so 8 total.
Yeah.
Alright, so that leaves that one on that.
It was turning into a fight from Asterix, with everybody shouting, leave some for me!
So, at this point, let's see, you've got two have been finished off. You've got one that is mildly wounded and one that is entirely healthy. And Felix, over to you.
Let's take a shot at whichever one is closest to me, really, I think.
Odds it's mildly wounded. It's the mildly wounded one.
Oh, let's see. No.
Okay, and Mason.
I'll go for the nearest to me, really.
That's the healthy one.
Of course it is. Mind you, I rolled a 6 and a 5, so that's...
That'll almost certainly be a hit.
13, then. 3D, so dear. 12 damage, AP4.
Okay, so...
That's pretty good. That's
my third bullet used.
Yep, that's about as knackered as the other 19. One now.
Right, I've only got 19 shots left, and then I'll have to change the magazine.
They are going to... The survivors are, at this point, going to pivot back and attack you guys.
That's not sporting, is it?
All things considered, I suspect... Yeah, they don't have an exactly high mental state, but I frankly suspect that they're going to go for Jethro anyway, because he's making the most noise. What will be...
Maybe that's the thing, no eyes...
Two potential target hits.
Vibration and noise.
And what's your armor 7, right?
Yeah.
Comes on 3. You can, one of them gets 1 point onto you.
Okay, so drops my endurance goes down from 9 to 8.
Now, does that compromise the suit in any way, or are we assuming it's kind of crushed down? It does.
Yeah. So I will say a bad word, and then auto of the two of them again. So that is shame it isn't Tunnels and Trolls because I've just rolled double four. So that's 12, and I've then followed by double five.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, John, where would I be if I, you know, I'd be up in the. How many dice would I be rolling now?
Well, you see, if you're doing saving rolls, it's one thing, but damage doesn't. I don't know.
That's right. Of course, it's
unless you're playing a berserker.
And then nine for things. So all three hit. So
well, no, you get one attack on each. You don't get the. The auto lets you get the multiple attacks. It doesn't give you multiple attacks on any one.
I thought it did, because I thought that was the whole point, because I thought it said you can change
targets. You're right. You get three total attacks, so one of them will get two and the other one will get one.
Okay, so I'll do two on the first one, one on the second. Yeah. Two on the one that I injured before.
Well, they're both in the same state right now anyway,
yeah.
So...
Yeah. And immediately I roll 11 on the first two dice, followed by four, but it's still 15 this time.
Yep, that will finish that one off.
Okay, so one bullet is then wasted. But I then roll 10 on the second, and 7, so 17 on the second.
Right, the snakes are dead.
Cool, okay.
Mm-hmm.
My gun clicks empty, because that was 20 shots.
It all gets very quiet.
Seems to do the... It's probably just the gentle hiss of expended cartridges as they plop into the wall.
Okay, I put a new fresh cartridge in, then I bend down and pick up my sword.
I look for Radish.
He climbs out of the tree.
Find any snakes?
Not obviously.
With a snake hanging off his nose. No, it seems fine up there.
Maybe his face inside the helmet looks a bit more scaly than it used to, but hey, it's Radish.
Hard to tell. Probably just some eczema.
If you want to do some bookkeeping, we're best doing that, really.
No, I'm just you'll probably take a few moments to stick patches on the suit and then.
Right.
Nice to put it for maintenance later.
Bit of wet and dry tape. Right, so now that we know there are fairly large aggressive items around here, I think we should possibly keep the guns out.
Yes, probably for the best.
I mean, safety's on and all, but...
Yeah, well, do you want to, you know, while Jethro and I are trying to clear the path, maybe you and the doc could maintain a rear guard?
Can I give...
Can I give
Dr. Radish my sword so that he can attempt to clear the path?
No!
On the ground.
He's going to be carrying either a sword or a gun, which is more dangerous.
Yeah.
I
want him to... I am not happy with him holding a gun behind me at the moment.
I just wanted him to be looking out for danger was my key point. Someone whose job is just to look for dangerous things.
I'll make sure the safety's on.
Can we take all the bullets?
I suspect with this level of sophistication, it's not so much the safety as you have to be actively holding and pulling the trigger in order to make it fire. Which is a surprisingly non-standard thing for guns.
Not if you're Radish. I mean, I think he would naturally have a death grip on the trigger and stop.
It's what they were trying to bring in. So before the NRA went apeshit, they were trying to bring that in for pistols, weren't they? That you had to be actively squeezing.
Well, that's effectively what you get on everything Glock has ever made. At least since the 80s, you have to be actively holding the grip and squeezing it from the back as well as the front.
Yeah.
And they redesigned the internal mechanism so when you drop it, it doesn't just casually go bang the way many pistols used to.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what safeties were designed for, not for, I'm going to panically squeeze the trigger and I'm glad nothing happened. Because... frankly, that situation should be quite rare, if you know what you're doing. Anyway,
however, on the, you know, on shoe on the other foot, Radish. So,
well, you make a convincing argument, sir.
I may just wedge a small stick behind the trigger.
Let me just remove
it's not
that.
A small stick, I've said that before.
Well, I got the blood pumping.
So, carrying
bastard
on.
Bastard thing bit me.
Through the swamp, sorry?
Little bastard thing bit me. Mm-hmm. Got through.
It doesn't appear to have injected any venom or anything like that. It does seem to be just a mechanical damaging organ.
Cool. Okay. That's good.
Probably laid it young inside you. I think you should stay with inside.
And so, as I've mentioned, this is basically Space Mangrove. Sight lines are not long, but you do, after a bit, see over there. Yeah, there is a straight line, and that in itself is quite a strange thing because you're seeing all these tree shapes. It's at an angle, but it's a dividing line between white and green. And as you get closer, there is a dome in the middle of this mangrove. It is painted in stripes of white and green. It's obviously at a bit of an angle, or maybe it was painted that way. It looks like about a 5 meter total diameter. So you've got about two and a half. It's slightly taller than you guys sticking out of the swamp. It's about half submerged, if it is a sphere. Mm-hmm.
Do we recognise it at all?
Well, you can make out as you saw in the earlier at the camp, the Roscosmos logo,
mm-hmm.
and another logo which I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have seen before, but it does have the name Rasviet, as you saw at the other place.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and this is when you say it's a dome, it's a smooth dome. It's not
it's basically a hemisphere rising out of the mangrove. There is also... Okay, so other things you can see. There is an exposed hatch. Mm-hmm. Looks slightly larger than human-sized, quite easy to negotiate in a suit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And right at the top, there is a small windmill going squeak, squeak, squeak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now that
by small, look... I mean about maybe 40 centimeter, 50 centimeter wide.
That doesn't look like an original part of a spacecraft to me.
No,
that suggests that somebody's very much built this as a functional shelter.
It is partly overgrown, but the stuff that's growing up, it looks quite sickly. Looking more closely, there does seem to be a solar cell next to that windmill, but that is basically covered in gunk, as solar cells tend to become. Uh-huh. But right, the windmill is still turning.
That could possibly be behind the continuing message, then, the fact that...
Oh yes, sorry. I should have said you.
This is where the
yes. You are following radio signals, and this is definitely the source of them.
But I mean, I'm just thinking that makes it seem very much less like somebody's still alive. Somehow, the fact that this could just keep running without maintenance.
Yeah, I think you might be right, Mason.
That will kind of last forever.
No.
Does anybody know any Russian?
No, but you can get real-time translation from the ship.
Fine. Yeah. Although Radish sounds like it should be Russian, doesn't it?
Maybe we should ask him.
Dr. Radish.
Let's first ping the ship and let them know we have located it. This is what we're seeing. It is at this location. Then if a crazed Russian cosmonaut springs out and mows us down with some kind of rusted Kalashnikov... which would probably be fine.
I would deserve everything I got if that actually happens.
Yeah.
The hatch is closed, by the way.
Shall we go up?
Looking more closely, the hatch is closed, but there are wires coming down from the windmill that seem to be going through the hatch opening.
As in, where it closes against the wires.
Yeah.
Or somebody's drilled holes to put a...
Yeah, you can't really tell at this distance.
Well, I'm just thinking one of those options is going to leave it a little bit open,
okay,
isn't it?
Okay, so if I were a crazed Russian, as you so lovingly describe
it,
Felix...
Might not be crazed.
He would be behind you right now.
I would possibly have cameras, so have a look around, see if we can see any cameras pointing towards the hatch.
Would definitely have tripwires.
And I would definitely have some form of maybe just, you know, tripwires against the old tin cans or whatever.
Any logs suspended mysteriously in the air?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be such a good idea with things like those snakes around. They'd be going off all the time, wouldn't they?
Into recon rolls from anyone who wants them.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go for reek.
I was thinking the reason for the deadfalls would be the huge snakes.
That is a massive 7. Annoying. Annoyingly for me.
That is 9.
Okay, you have a reasonably good look around. There's no sign of anything like that.
Do you want to give a tap on that hatch with your machete?
I will walk
call
up.
Out, hello, which I'm sure they'll recognize.
I will ask the others to stand back slightly. I will walk forwards as the most expendable member of the crew.
Might put the weapons away at this stage.
The hatch is inconveniently high, but you can stretch up to it.
I will give it a knock with something. Maybe with my combat knife or something.
Goes clank.
Bang, bang, bang. As in, it's the standard, policeman knock on the door.
Yeah, we're not asking to rap out the Marseillaise or anything. I mean, nothing too complex.
It's all yours there, Richie. There is no response.
Okay, we'll give it a couple of minutes. Try it again. Give it a couple more minutes and then try and open the hatch.
Okay, there is.
Well, just before you do, I'm going to check for electrical signals and things with my cyber eye.
Remind
I have an
me
overlay
that
can
does.
Well, it can detect. I can see wires in walls, and I can detect a transmitter. Something. Oh,
okay,
like that.
Right. Well, yes. There is power going down these wires. Not very much.
Okay, but there doesn't appear to be anything, like we haven't missed a couple of crocodile clips attached to the door handle or anything like that.
No, there may be stuff happening internally, obviously, that you can't see, but as far as the outside is concerned, there doesn't seem to be any power involved.
All right. Go for it.
Cool. I will open the door.
Okay. Right, it is dark inside. Shining a light in, the first impression you get is, there probably were internal fittings, but this has been stripped as far as anybody could. That stub is obviously where somebody would have put a crash couch, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, you could see that some of this looks quite like what you saw at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
The one by the seawall.
Yeah.
The lower third or thereabouts is filled with mucky water. Right. The actual transmitter, and Mason can definitely pin this down once he takes a look in, is there's a storage locker near the highest point, what's now the highest point. And the transmitter is inside that.
Mm-hmm. Any notes, anything written?
Are you opening up that locker?
We will look around.
That is where the wires are going as well, by the way.
Okay. I will open the locker with the others out of blast radius.
Okay, there are two things in there. One of them is the emergency beacon. The other is a piece of polished aluminium hull plating, otherwise known as a handout.
Let me just...
What's Call of Cthulhu to shame.
I think this is the first handout in the entire campaign, but... what was it? I had this all ready for you last time.
And we asked about...
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
you're getting full...
We extended the campaign...
You're getting full value
by a whole week, knowing that our alternative GM was going to be otherwise engaged this week.
When we... when we manage to translate this handout, it says that the aluminium merchant, Air Nazir, is an absolute rip-off artist and shouldn't be trusted at all. The quality of his aluminium sheeting is terrible.
Yeah.
Right, there it is. That link in the chat.
Oh, too.
A very poor aluminium. Sub-quality.
Oh, it's a PDF. Translated from Russian, very Rubaskin. Good.
Yes, you're getting it translated probably via the ship, but...
Rubaskin.
I am Arkady Yevgenievich Rubaskin, navigator and chief astronomer for Project 7654/B, the interstellar research vessel Dawn. This is my last statement and testament in the hope that it will someday be found by voyagers from Earth, or perhaps someone from another world who can understand my words.
We have lived on this island for 3 years now. We arrived here, where you find me, in a falling star. We travelled so far to be here, and I'm sure that there are wonders on this world, but all I have seen is the death of my friends.
Our beautiful white ship, the Dawn, that we spent so long building, is gone. I saw it broken and burning as we fell, the drive section aflame, and the hull torn asunder. Our captain, medical officer, two of my scientific colleagues, and all of the engineering team were killed when the drive torus detonated as we transited into this system. The details of the accident are unclear to me, beyond that we knew our ship was doomed, and we were falling, burning and blind towards an unknown world.
11 of us made it off the ship, out of a crew of nearly 50. The escape pod brought us here, functioning as it should have done except for the final landing rockets. The beautiful cousins from Siberia, Selene and Rada, were killed in the landing. Vadim died of his burns 3 days later. We had no medical supplies and knew just a little first aid between us. We couldn't even make him comfortable, and none of us had the courage to end his pain.
8 survivors crawled from the pod to this tiny slice of salt-encrusted, sodden land. We knew that no one was coming to rescue us. Just building the Dawn had taken the resources of dozens of towns back home. We were far, far off course too. We knew what we were doing, our little cabal. We convinced the government that it was a test flight to Proxima and back. But we wanted to explore. The government didn't question why so many supplies necessary to test the ship's capabilities, we told them. And so here we are, explorers stranded in the shoals of distant suns.
We've tried our best to live here. Tatiana had the good sense to grab her seed boxes on the way out. We had strawberries, oats, barley, rice, potatoes and half a dozen others. Starvation wasn't what killed us. I think it was the water that made us sick. We lost Dobromir to an infected swamp snake bite in the first year. Jethro? Vitaly succumbed to sickness the next year, the first of us to fall ill. Titania and Savelli followed him shortly after. Zenya was killed when the wave destroyed our first camp last year. She struck her head on a tree, was knocked unconscious. We found her drowned the next day.
Last month, Peter died as he was hauling water from the well. I think it was a heart attack. A week later, Anastasia collapsed. She had been sick for a long time but kept it from me. She died in our bed yesterday morning. I buried her on the hill with the rest of our friends. I know that I too am sick. I feel the burning in my bones and know that it will be agony for me. I have a bottle of Peter's rotgut and have sharpened my razor. I do not want to die alone in a fever.
If you can understand this, please take us home. Oh, gutted.
Yeah, I'm quite sad about that.
So, they mentioned rock gut. So, they're buried on the hill.
Mm.
Yeah. They're buried on the hill. We should probably recover the remains.
Well,
I take it his remains are in here.
Mm.
Well, no, I'm guessing his remains will be also. He'll have gone to the hill.
Yeah.
But would he have done that to just die in the open where his body could be dismembered, spread away?
And die with his friends.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, he wants to be recovered and taken home, ideally.
Yeah. He doesn't appear to be in here.
Indeed.
We should probably check the hill then.
Maybe he had a cunning shelter up there or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an area where we've not looked at all, obviously. My suggestion is that we get ourselves back to the hovercraft. We make sure that, obviously we did tell the hovercraft, pilot that, there are snakes so that he will be.
Let me bring the map back up for you.
Paying attention.
I can't believe that we didn't call the last episode "My Hovercraft is Full of Eels."
Oh.
How did we miss that? Still, maybe this time today, perhaps they'll have got the pilot.
That's what he's hoping.
So, the light grey sections are the highest ground.
Of the two, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is that chances are he's going to be let's get ourselves out of the swamp.
So the slowest bit is alright, you left a trail as you hacked your way in, so it's quicker than getting here was, but it's basically getting back to that junction of streams and back to the hovercraft. Yeah.
There were no other materials we should be taking with us. Anything that looked like personal effects, I'm guessing they're buried with the bodies.
We'll
double check in the brackish water just to make sure that there isn't anything.
Mm.
The other thing we will do, and this is a very, I'm almost as choked up. Obviously, we'll take the plaque. We will disconnect the transponder. There's nobody left to rescue, I'm afraid.
Mm.
So.
At this point,
I will annoy any listeners by patching in a segment of the transponder transmission.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd done it properly, Roger, you'd have it playing in the background throughout the entire time we're down here.
Yes, but I want you guys to come back for the next set.
Just do it for the listeners.
It's a good way to make sure they go away, it's true. So it's okay, looking at that account.
We quite liked our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, most of them, obviously.
The ones I've corresponded with seem to be lovely people.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are others who aren't, so...
I've gamed with a few of them, and they seem to be very lovely people.
Mm. Two of us are them.
This sycophancy just disgusts me.
Oh.
I shall eat one of my worms.
You do that. You do that, Jethro. So it's plausible, based on the account, that they retrieved the bodies from the crash as well and also buried them. It's not clear. So let's try the hill.
Yeah, you can't see...
We know the numbers. So.
You can't see the mucky water, or rather you can see the mucky water, you can't really see far down into it, unless somebody's got a sonar implant or something I don't know about. But there is no sign of bones or anything like that, which, yeah, you would expect a skeleton to survive this long.
Yeah.
If it were here.
Let's haul ourselves back out to hovercraft, I think, in that case.
Oh, very quickly. Would the transponder have anything to say how long it had been
moving? Here we go. Yes, searching below the waterline. Yep, that's a skull, that is.
Right, that makes more sense.
And that's a pair of spectacles with a cracked lens, and that is definitely a straight razor.
I think we try and retrieve as many bones as we can get. Yeah,
we'll try and grab as much as we can from him, of him. I mean, we're in the luxurious position where we might end up giving them a space burial.
We can probably, when we get back, post them to wherever they're from. Postage due, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Actually, is there much of the Russian Federation left?
Yeah, it's a relatively minor power these days. It doesn't, for example, have significant colonies or anything like that. But it's definitely still there. There are bits of Siberia nobody's going to get to go to for another few thousand years, but that's a separate concern.
I think they would be really very pleased to have.
Well, I mean, yeah,
back,
I mean,
the, you know.
Well, I mean, actual heroes of.
None of you has science history, do you?
Yeah.
Good Lord, no. The only person who might.
Quite strange that it's a science skill, but
I doubt it.
Yeah, you can default history from physics.
But, you know, I suppose in a way you can. So it's a fairly broad sort of history.
But I think you can certainly get from there'll be people at Entdecker trying to look up various names and serial numbers and things. And yeah, it's not much thought about these days because it was one of those. It's a bit of a mystery, but we just don't have any information. There was a ship called Rassiet.
Dawn?
Yeah. Which was a Roscosmos mission to Proxima, and it left and never arrived. And obviously there are a lot of things that can happen to a stutter warp ship that involve it never arriving, particularly in those early stutter warp days.
But nothing was supposed to be out here. So, they're kind of pioneers then, aren't they?
Okay, so which of the... You've got two elevated areas. Do you want to go to a particular one first?
We may as well go to the one closest to it to start with.
Yeah, okay. So the lower one on the map then, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. Sort of halfway down the east coast.
Yeah.
Bit less vegetation up here, and there is a clearly constructed fence. Mostly, it looks as if it's woven out of vines, but if you tap them, they're quite hard, as some of the ones you saw elsewhere were down the riverbank. There are 10 graves. Each one
it was
is
11 locked. Total, wasn't it? So that would be including him, was that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Each one is marked with what you almost certainly don't recognise as, but you can immediately check, is a Russian Orthodox cross. Put together from scrap metal. Each one has got scratched on a name, a date, and a cause of death. I won't go through the whole list, but the first ones are May of 2147. The last one is January of 2150.
Okay, so that's about 50, 60 years ago?
That's more like 150 years ago.
150 years ago, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, good on them for coming, for getting here though. And like I say, it's
what
I think This is going to sound really daft. Is what's religion like now in the 23rd century?
The old ones are still going strong. I mean, there hasn't been any great revelation that causes people to stop believing stuff.
When you said the old ones, I thought we'd had
that too. And there are some new variants and sects and things, but there hasn't been any single big new religious movement that's really taken off. Lots of small ones.
Do we have a chaplain?
Oh, yeah.
On board.
It's somebody else's part-time job. Like, you don't have a dedicated chaplain.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a dedicated Marine. I'm actually one of the administrators. But I'm also, when there's landing parties, I tend to go on the bloody landing parties.
You can't take the Marine out of the boy, can you?
So, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the whole multi-faith chaplain thing. So, now, you wish to talk to me about the inevitable triumph of our Lord Satan over the world. Okay.
There is a robot which had a sort of a different face locked into place.
Let me just take my cross and turn it upside down.
It's sort of ZZ Top that can spin the spin the guitar.
You've got that nice clicking noise as you rotate it.
Yeah.
Benny from The Mummy trying to find the symbol that keeps
me away. I really like that part of Benny from The Mummy. I made an archetype for Pathfinder that is specifically Benny from The Mummy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you follow all of the gods. That makes sense. It's a polytheistic setting.
Gods who demand soul worship are just being unreasonable.
You carry symbols of all of them and bargain with them as necessary for your situation. And make tiny promises that you might keep. Maybe. I'm now thinking, if we are aiming to exhume them, we probably don't have that kit with us right now.
This is what I was saying, if need be, if there's not a chaplain on Nandekar, let's face it, it's not that much of a thing for us to fly down, fly back up again. Mm-hmm.
Well, don't forget, Nandekar is on the ground.
Yeah.
It's a 20-minute hovercraft trip away.
Yeah.
Right now, you would have as part of the standard equipment on the hovercraft some shovels and stuff, but if you wanted something a bit more specialised, you could certainly go back and get it.
Well, we'd go back, and I think, like I say, we'd get the chaplain, because exhuming a body, that especially one where there's actual proper grave markers and stuff, they will understand what's to do, because this won't. I will have been involved in recovering bodies and bits and pieces during my time in the service and so on and so forth, and some of them will have been buried and then exhumed to be brought back later on.
We'll also want to find suitable receptacles, because it's really awkward if you dig out a body and then you're like, well, now it's a heap on the floor. You want to have something to decant into as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, and not really body bags.
Not if we can avoid it.
Individual boxes are going to be fine. They're not going to be.
Well, I mean, for 150
full bodies,
years,
are they?
I hate to say, 150 years ago, quite small caskets.
Yeah, I mean, you might.
You'll get some bits of bones that are still recognizable.
Yeah, depending on the level of local saprophytic flora.
I'm probably thinking. I mean, we can take whatever we find and, depending on size of the box, possibly put the crosses in the box or similar as appropriate.
Oh, very much. You take the grave markers as well.
Just to make sure they stay together.
Just purely and simply from a... Well, also, to identify which remains are
exactly,
which.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
But also... going back and actually doing a bit of analysis on the bodies and stuff on what's left of the bodies to see if there are, if there is anything sort of, like, for example, anthrax. 150 years later, you would still be able to detect anthrax.
Yeah, yeah, all you've got to do is to just reopen that little hole in your pressure suit, really, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is a valuable opportunity for the scientists to do some analysis on human bodies in this alien world.
And also, but also we want to see if we can work out what was the thing in the water that...
Yeah, if it's the water, what happened to them? We should take water samples, soil samples. Probably. I mean,
the fact that, you know, they actually had working food, and you can do an awful lot with, you know, if you've got food sources of some description, water, you can get purifying water to a pretty high quality. You can do quite easily with a still.
Well, we know they had a still. The old Humphrey Bogart approach of don't drink the water, just the booze.
So sample
your junior stutter-up engineer is doubling as the chaplain. Because you need faith to work on those things anyway.
Well, fair enough. I mean, to be honest, like I say, I mean, I'm more than happy to help and be part of the unburial detail, if you pardon me. There's a proper term.
Exhumation.
Stroke, grave robbing, depending on the legality.
Archaeology.
No. This is
burial, grave robbing.
By request, even.
Yes, this is exhumation on request.
That does sound a little... I'm not dead. I'm feeling better.
Sorry, before I forget, we should definitely get, as well as soil and water samples, which we should get on spec, we should definitely get some samples of those weird hardened plants, because they seem interesting to our botanists. Should probably have taken a sample snake as well, but Dr. Radish will only do something unspeakable to it.
There's probably some bits of fang left embedded in somebody's suit.
Yeah, we probably would have grabbed a tissue sample again for generic analysis purposes. It's reflex at this point. Can we assemble all the bits we need for exhumation?
Yeah. Basically, what that's probably going to mean is your driver takes the hovercraft back to Entdecker, brings extra people and stuff, and then you go back in relays.
Yeah. And I'm guessing... I mean, there is an actual exhumation thing for C of E, so then presumably is for... Russian Orthodox.
But there's also a certain amount of generic. This is a respectful way of doing it, even if it's not the exact way you guys would do it.
Yeah, exactly. So.
During that process, there are no coffins or anything like that. They were just buried in shrouds, but they are synthetic fabric shrouds, so those have mostly survived.
That'll help, because that'll help keep the... any surviving bits of bone.
It is bone.
Actually, it strikes me we can ask the prefab, in the workshop on Entdecker, to make a monument we can put up here.
Oh, that'd be nice. This
is where the remains of the crew of the Rosviet,
and we leave a copy of the plaque.
Yeah, that seems appropriate and respectful.
That is entirely doable.
And ask the captain or whoever's good with words to throw together a respectful statement that we can put up with it.
I'm hoping Radish isn't actually a doctor of divinity.
don't give him ideas.
No, but he actually is a writer, mm-hmm. don't forget.
Going to be radish, isn't it?
I do think that the biases of the game designers show in that there is no knowing about religions skill, even as an academic discipline, never mind as an actual practicing whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's the future, you don't need them, do you?
One of the things I like about this is it's a recognisable future with that, you know, actual people and nationalities and stuff in it, rather than no, it's not space for Rome honest.
No, no. Whereas, I mean, see, that to me is what I mean. Babylon 5 is probably one of the best science fiction things around, anyway. But I love that one where everyone was doing their religion. And then it got to Earth, and it was literally the queue out of the door of all the different religions of Earth, which are still going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really, really good. Worked very well.
Okay, so while that's in progress, I'll just say the other hilltop...
I mean, we'll check all the rest. Yeah. We may as well check all the rest
so
of the
locations
anyway.
Looks like another campsite. It's rather more intact than the one on the seawall. Five fairly sturdy-looking buildings, combination of metal from the wreck and this hard vine stuff. Clearly abandoned, though, and somewhat overgrown since.
Can we try and work out what killed them? What was the thing that was giving them the
I will leave that for a future session, because that is really a radish medical skill. Well, unless one of you lot has enough medical skill to give it a go.
Good heavens, no.
Not really.
I don't think I could be allowed to bandage my own.
I mean, I've got medic 1, but I'm happy to leave it to the professional.
Yes, indeed.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've got medic 1, but I'm assuming that it's like...
Yeah.
I know which... cupboard's got the blast.
I don't feel like, I mean, we are on an alien world exploring it. Felix is a scout.
And can you imagine how Nick would react if the one time that we desperately need his skill, we go, oh no, we just hand waved it, mate.
Yeah,
you
it's
know.
Fine.
But so. Other things you can find in the camp. Three of the buildings are living quarters. One, there's a storage shed and there's a cover over a well. Lots of personal effects scattered about. Photographs, scraps of clothing, broken electronics, a few ruined books. There's a mess kit.
Mm.
Much of it is stamped with the Roscosmos symbol, and it looks as if this is the Dawn mission patch. Also, there is a tightly sealed plastic storage crate, inside which are handwritten notebooks.
Ooh.
Russian. They're basically documenting the flora and fauna of this place, including the swamp snakes. There are various other things that are apparently quite vicious.
Cool.
That's
fine. I mean, again, that's
really impressive.
All of this we want to bring back.
There's a thing in the jungle that they call the shotgun tree, which apparently you shouldn't get on the wrong end of.
Oh, no. No, you really shouldn't.
On our next away mission, Jethro is armed with a tree.
these journals are all written by Anastasia Olenieva, who is the last of the grave markers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was the one who... was it... What was he... What did he sign himself? No, he wasn't Pietro. It was Pietro... Also died, didn't he? But,
Yeah, Hilda Baskin. Arkady Robaskin.
One of the huts has a double bed with a headboard made out of these vines with two intertwined letter A's.
Okay. Yeah, well, give it a couple of years, there will be a at least one dramatic film retelling of their story, presumably. Mm.
Before you know it, there'll be a tourist information centre here and probably some sort of fast food franchise.
Yeah. Snake burgers,
yeah.
Or snake petting experience, possibly.
It's the snakes that'll be doing the petting, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. But that is still one of my favourite little things with the Hawaii. There was a big Hawaiian.
Quite a few big Hawaiians, I think.
Yeah, well, they're definitely.
Brother is, yeah.
So, actually, on the Big Island, they, just before whichever the active volcano is, it went and there was a temple site and bits and pieces, and there was a tourist information place beside it and a car park and so on and so forth. And when the volcano went up, it took out the tourist information, it took out the car park, and literally, if you look at it on the map, it goes round the temple, which did make me smile. But there are reasons for it. It's very, very slightly elevated and stuff, but it does, it looks very, very sharp, you know, where, you know, took out all the American stuff and left the Hawaiian. So it just made me laugh.
Looking at that from the other side, I imagine you've seen that photograph of lightning striking the sea and the caption, "God says, fuck these three fish in particular."
Yes.
Yes. Or perhaps, you know, "these three fish have served well. Come home, thou good and faithful fishy servant."
Yeah. So.
Okay, so, yeah, that is basically what there is to find. That, you know, there is more debris and wreckage and so on. That one of the pieces of wreckage, yeah, this was definitely some sort of fusion device, maybe nuclear thrusters, which exploded rather than just being destroyed from outside. But, okay, yeah.
So, I mean, from the sounds of what went wrong, the fact that any of them got down safely is amazing.
Do you think we should salvage something with the, you know, with the sort of logos and that kind of thing?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Or is that perhaps, you know, are we sort of desecrating the site?
It all depends on what you do with it. Do you bring it back as part of the returning of the remains, or do you sell it?
No, I think...
Well, yeah, I wasn't thinking of eBaying it, but now you've put that opportunity into my head. I was thinking very much it would be something that perhaps, you know, the home hometowns might want to know about. The National Museum or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just remembering a lovely fake eBay listing I saw after Columbia let go on re-entry. I found this twisted piece of metal. It's obviously part of Columbia. $500. And my granny looked up at about the right time. I have gouged out her eyes and will send them to you.
I think collecting an assortment of things that seems reasonable, but, you know, we don't want to try and pick up every single scrap of this.
No, I mean, by any means. I mean,
but, yeah, yeah.
But anything that's easily to transport back and actually feels like it would be something that they would want. I mean, basically, it's anything, you know, I mean, from Mason and mine's point of view, obviously, you know, I mean, New Cornwall is the idyllic spot that we both grew up in. So what would we want as Cornishmen? But,
And I mean, from a pragmatic point of view, there's probably going to be multiple museums that would like souvenirs of this. Yeah. So, you know, get extra.
But there can only be one place really where, you know, there's the official monument, can't
Oh, yeah, which is why we put the...
But that's up to them, that's not our business.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if there's, you know, the National Museum can have some and there can be a few extras left over that the, you know, Town Museum can have.
When you say a few extras left over, it just makes me think of Saints' relics, you know.
I mean, that's
this
up
is
to
a
them,
knucklebone. For, oh, I didn't know they sold them individually. I thought they came in boxes of 10.
I think that is pretty much that, and once the remains have been gathered, the mission will continue.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
We lift off then.
That all seems quite humane of us, you know. It doesn't seem right somehow.
Yeah.
We come in peace, shoot to kill.
I think we did well there.
That's a shame that there wasn't anybody around, but I mean, then you sort of realise that they would have had to have been a generational thing if they were.
They'd be like four generations on, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And with only 11 of them.
Yeah.
Who knows what the water would have done to them?
Mm.
Well, we'll find out when we interrogate Radish.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, if that's I could do with calling it a night.
Thank you
very much indeed. That was fun. A little bit of a downer in its own way, but
touching. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the nice kind of.
That could have been nice, couldn't it?
Well, it still might actually be us, and you know, if you. If you think about it, that we might not be the original people that Dr. Radish was talking to. We might be a figment of the...
Figment of the entities...
But let's face it, if you did one of those party games, you know, where on the count of three, everybody points at the person most likely to be the alien infiltrator. I think we know who would get most pointed to.
It's all the extra hands that point at Radish. That's what worries me. And the ship's AI. How did the ship's AI generate those hands? It's still pointed at Radish.
Brought them along just in case.
Okay, well, thank you all.
Cheers very much.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.